Welcome to Dietitians Uncorked, a podcast hosted by Kat and Kelly, two registered dietitians who co-founded Nutriving, a virtual nutrition practice. We talk all things food, nutrition, life, and of course, wine. This is a judgment-free zone where all foods fit and all bodies are welcome. Thanks for listening. Welcome back, our listeners, to another episode of Dietitians Uncorked. Kat and Kelly here, back with you, excited to be recording again. We took a little bit of a break over summer. This is our second episode back. Today, Kat and I are going to be diving into the topic of milk. And a lot of questions come up when we're talking with patients around milk, so we thought it would be a good podcast episode. Before we get into that, we do still have our group program offering for Nourished and Empowered. So if you're looking for some guidance in terms of nutrition, but maybe one-on-one is not what you're looking for, the group program is a really great option. Lower price point, tons of educational materials, really supportive community. So it's a good option if you're looking for some additional guidance. So you can head to our website, nutriving.com, and go to the services tab to get more info on that. What else am I missing? Drinks? Shall we discuss?
Let's do it. Hi, everyone. It's good to be back. We are recording this episode kind of not like in a time that would be socially acceptable to consume wine. Not that that has stopped us before, but today we have to be productive. So I'll tell you guys what I'm drinking. I'm drinking a version of the beet smoothie that we have online, actually, on our website, nutriving.com, under recipes. It's a beet smoothie that just tastes delicious. Although this one, I say a version because this one has a few other ingredients that are not on that recipe. And it's just, I'm really enjoying the smoothie.
That recipe is...
What about you, Kelly?
Really good. The color just always gets me. The color of that recipe, if you haven't looked at it, definitely head to our website because it's so beautiful. It's such a gorgeous fuchsia color. And I love that recipe, as do our followers.
It makes you happy, like, yeah, to look at it. Totally. It's just so like, good morning, mm-hmm, you know, that kind of
we need that
vibe
sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I have coffee. I have iced coffee with me. Still pretty warm out here, so we often like brew coffee and then just pour it, you know, in a carafe, make it cold. That's our summer go-to.
Sure.
So yeah, ready and caffeinated to podcast.
Fantastic. That's how we like to be when we are discussing anything nutrition related, which today's topic comes from. Honestly, I think it's been like several weeks in a row. I've sort of been keeping track just because you know how you have so many tabs open and you're like, oh, should I close this tab or not?
Am like
I
gonna come in back the internet to it later? Or in life?
Both. But I really am talking about the internet. I've had this tab open for like information regarding milk and like this little visual thing that we have actually posted on our Instagram. And I think it's been like, I want to say 4 weeks in a row that I have utilized this little visual thing because I've gotten so many questions about milk and the different kinds of milks. And it's crazy how, you know, even just 20 years ago, there were not this massive variety of various options and sort of popular milks around. So people didn't really have to think about this, mm-hmm, very much. So it can become really confusing if you're trying to be healthy, and especially when there's so much buzz about the different types of milk. Like what's cool and hip changes all the time. So
yeah. So at this point, the number of milk alternatives, I don't even know what it's at right now, but dozens, I would say. I was actually looking through a list before this episode. And I've never seen it in a store, but I saw banana milk is apparently a thing.
What?
And I love bananas, so like I would definitely try this, but there's just so many ingredients now that are made into this milk format. And I was looking through the list. I was like, my God, I've never seen most of these in a store. I think there are a few, you know, big players in the space, which we'll talk about today. But aside from that, some of these are just like so random and obscure, and I'm sure like incredibly expensive, I would guess.
Oh yeah, my God. Hazelnut milk is like apparently, it's like, I've never tried it before, but mainly because I get really like, the price of it is sort of like, damn, this milk must be like the best milk I've ever tried in my entire life, because otherwise it's not worth it. I do like banana milk is a common, I think based on, this is, I'm assuming this is a Latino thing, and I don't know if it's just, it's a Latino thing, or it might be more than a Latino thing. It might be some specific countries in South America that do this, but sticking a whole banana in the blender with a glass of milk is like a very common snack.
I wonder,
did you grow up doing that?
No, not really, but I have, now that you say that, a lot of the, in my previous job, I worked with a lot of Spanish-speaking families, mostly from Mexico, but some other countries as well in Central America, and they called it, like, líquido, and they had that, it was what you just said, like banana, milk.
Yep.
Sometimes they would put a few other things in it, so to me, that's like, that's how I'd make a smoothie, right? I always put like a frozen banana because it gives it that good body. But in terms of milk that's like produced, I wonder, I'm assuming it's the same thing. Maybe it's just banana and water. I don't know. I haven't looked into that one as much, but.
Interesting. Yeah. So we kind of wanted to dive into the nutrition, sort of like what each of these milks really contains and how they might compare, and maybe there's an option that is better for you and compared to a different one, and also taste and like how likely you are to consume one of these, even if it might be quote unquote better. It, if you're not going to drink it, then that is not a good option for you,
right?
So we kind of wanted to dive into that, and I'm not really sure how to start tackling this massive topic.
Well, let's start with the old school version, maybe, cow's milk, right? For me, some of the pros of cow's milk that I've seen in patients' lives in the past is that compared to all of the other milks, it's definitely more affordable, more readily available. You know, you can get it in a gas station for the most part. So even if you don't live close to a grocery store, people can still access milk that way. Really good source of protein. That's one of the main differences between cow's milk and a majority, not all, but the majority of our alternative milks, is that cow's milk does have that higher content of protein, which you're not going to get with an oat milk, for example, or almond milk. Those are like two of the more popular ones. So from my perspective, that can be really helpful for families, especially if people are struggling. Maybe you have kids and you're struggling to get them, you know, to eat enough food, you're worried about their protein intake, this is a really, it's a quick, you know, affordable resource, I guess, source of protein. So for me, that's like some of the things that stick out when I think about cow's milk. I feel like it gets shit on a lot because there's so many other choices right now. And a lot of people don't tolerate it, right? So obviously if you don't tolerate it, it's not something you're going to buy or incorporate.
Yeah, that's me, baby. Can't do it. I want to, you know, like I want to be able to tolerate it. But yeah, lactose intolerant people, you know, I get you. It's like it doesn't really sit well. And I think for me, and I don't know, I would be curious to like ask around people that are lactose intolerant. For me, I think portion really matters. Like I can put milk, even cream, in my coffee and probably be okay. Like not really struggle. But half a cup or more, it is not a good situation. And so I do avoid it. And even there are some cow's milk now available without lactose. And so that's a big, maybe in addition to this variety of profiles, but I would, I can tolerate that. Okay. But just regular milk from a cow. Oh, it just, it's a bad day for me when I have to face.
Not on your preferred menu.
No. I do, you know, something to also say about cow's milk, it's so workable. Like there are so many different things you can do with milk, cow's milk, cooking wise. And so it's also a wonderful source of different kinds of cuisines coming together and making all the things that come with, you know, milk and steaming it and boiling it and, you know, various baking methods that with other milks, you may not get the same result.
That's a good point. The versatility. And one other thing I wanted to bring up is because it has more protein, like that's great. But we also have to keep in mind that, you know, not every, like this is such an individual topic as many things in nutrition are, but not everyone, you know, is hurting for protein, right? So just because it has more protein doesn't necessarily mean it's superior, because if you're already getting plenty of protein throughout the day, you know, there's no need to like hyperload on the type of milk. If you're lacking in protein and you tolerate cow's milk, this is a great, you know, choice for you. But it's so dependent on the individual and what their, you know, what other medical complications they have. Do they have a lactose intolerance, medical conditions, economic circumstances, preferences, right? If cow's milk like makes you want to throw up because you think it's disgusting, which I've talked with plenty of people who feel that way, like adults who are just like, there's no reason I want cow's milk, then it's not for you. And luckily, right, there are a lot of other choices and there are other ways to get protein in.
Absolutely. I think one last thing I'll say about cow's milk. Apparently we had a lot to say about cow's milk. But, you know, when it comes to nutrition and understanding, like, you know, why people might choose one thing over another, this is why, like, to your point, Kelly, it's such a individual approach as far as, like, what you prefer, what you have going on, like, in life, whether this is, like, proximity to a grocery store, economic circumstances while you're traveling, how you're doing GI wise, like have you been sick recently to your stomach, and milk really seems to exacerbate GI symptoms. There's just so many other backgrounds to choosing what kind of milk. And what's wonderful about having different options is you get to have different options. But one thing that I do want to say, it's like for people that are not really well nourished, people that have been subjected to whatever the circumstances behind it that has led them to a malnourished state, cow's milk can be such a rich source of, you know, fat and protein and wonderful carbs. And most of these are fortified with vitamin D. So you get vitamin D, you get calcium. These are like wonderful, wonderful things. Not everybody is malnourished. So we don't have to use... like the haters of cow's milk are like, oh, it's disgusting, whatever. It's like, okay, well, if you were malnourished, this probably would be a good option for you. And the fact that you're not, it makes you able to maybe choose something different. So to kind of highlight the point, there's so much that plays in the background that might, hopefully this podcast will help you find your best milk match for your current health status. But, you know, it also taste plays a role here. So whatever floats your boat when it comes to milk is super valid.
For sure. I feel like we could go on about a lot more things about cow's milk, but in the interest of time, we should probably move on. What would you say, Kat, is the most, this is very subjective, but when you're talking with people, what, like our patients, what would you say is the most common milk of choice, like aside from cow's milk, if someone's doing an alternative milk and non-dairy, what would you say you hear most often?
I have been hearing a lot more recently oat milk is the option, and I absolutely love oat milk. It to me, it's like the best kind of non-dairy milk milk option for my coffee because I don't want my coffee to taste like anything. I don't want the taste to be corrupted. Mm-hmm. And I feel
you
like
taste the coffee.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like almond has a bit of a taste, mm-hmm. and maybe soy has a bit of a taste. So to me, oat milk just tends to blend so well, and it's just so creamy also. And so and I think recently has become a lot more popular, and so people are asking me a lot more questions about oat milk than before.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think a year or two ago, I probably would have said almond milk, that most of my patients were talking about almond milk. But now I think it's changed to oat milk. I think one of the biggest questions that I've gotten when talking with patients, and I used to teach like group nutrition classes, this came up a lot in that class as well, that people were like, okay, almond milk, oat milk, like what are the main differences, right? So when we actually break it down, and if you look at the nutrition, one of the main differences is that almond milk is basically, I personally hate almond milk. Like I think it's, mm-hmm. I think it tastes so weird. I love almonds and I love water, which are the two principal ingredients. But I can't stand it. I don't like the taste. So for me, that's like a no-go, right? Kind of like how for you, cow's milk, you know, you don't tolerate it, so you're not going to have that. I can't get over the taste. So it is what it is. But in terms of nutrition, one of the biggest differences now that oat milk is more popular, oat milk is, it's higher in carbohydrate, right? It's made from oats, which is a grain. So it's higher in carbohydrate than your almond milk. But the protein is about the same. So on the lower side, right, we talked about cow's milk being the highest in protein. Both oat milk and almond milk are only going to have a gram or two or three, depending on which brand and which type. But the carbohydrate content is the biggest difference. And because of that, oat milk is typically a little bit higher in calories. Do you feel like that's a good summary?
Yeah, I would say the calorie difference is quite a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the scheme of things, right? So like, I believe we have a graphic on, just like a visual aid on, and I've mentioned this on our Instagram. This is based on one cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like one cup of oat milk, and we use the brand Oatly here, is like 120 calories versus one cup of almond milk is 30 calories. So, and we're using the Silk brand here for an example. So it is kind of big. And then the difference between carbs, I mean, I get like Kelly said, this is based off of oatmeal, which is a carbohydrate. And so of course you're going to have like 16 grams of carbs for one cup of oat milk versus 1 gram, because this is based off nuts, which are not carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. It's just, and almond milk. And so recently, for example, I have two really good examples for this. I've had a couple of clients who really struggle with getting a balance of carbohydrate in their meal. They want to add, like if they had it their way, they would eat 5 cups of rice per meal, and it would be like what they really strive for. And so because they enjoy carbs so much. And I mean, who doesn't?
Right. It's same. Just,
you know, carbs are awesome. But what we've been sort of working on is bringing in some other elements, some non-starchy vegetables in, adequate protein in, and really trying to, you know, adjust eating patterns to support better glucose control, even just energy, the fullness and hunger kind of aspect of this, because so many carbs can leave you kind of feeling really, really overly full, sometimes a little bloated if we're kind of not doing the right amount of portions. And so one of the things we talked about is how are other ways, where can we cut corners so that we can give you as much as what you love in an adequate portion without causing this like crazy amount of carbs, mm-hmm. at every meal. And we realized, you know, these are actually, let me see, three clients we've talked to this, that these three individuals feel very much the same about almond milk as they do about oat milk. Like none of them have, mm-hmm. an issue. They actually 2 years ago were drinking almond milk. Now that oat milk is more popular, drinking oat milk, and realize like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. I was doing my smoothies. I was putting this in my coffee. I was putting this in my cereal. I was drinking it like as a, you know, in between meals or as a snack. So it's like, hey, we're cutting, you know, a lot of calories in a lot of carbs, which is kind of our biggest emphasis here. And the sacrifice doesn't feel like I'm, you know, taking away their favorite things.
Right.
And for these people, that is a great option to adjust carbohydrate. Now, I have one lady who we've been talking about trying to get enough calcium in her diet. She hates all other milks but oat milk. It's like the only one that she just, and she felt like almond milk was healthier because it's made out of almonds. She was drinking a lot of almond milk. We made the switch. I'm not concerned at all about carbohydrate with her because that's not something that we need to be careful with. And making that switch or like encouraging her to consume oat milk. So it's a win-win-win.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, again, so individual, right? They're
incredibly individual.
There's so many factors that go into what you choose. And going back to your point about quantity, right? Even though the carbohydrate and calorie difference between oat milk and almond milk is pretty substantial, you know, if you're only putting a teaspoon, a tablespoon or whatever in your coffee, it's so little, you know, but if you're actually using it to drink, like you're pouring a cup and drinking it, or maybe in your cereal, you know, using a cup or half a cup or three quarters, whatever, then the difference is going to be more apparent there.
Yeah. Yeah. And how it feels to, afterwards, you know, how you feel about drinking some of these milks after, you know, having a glass of milk, it can be really different mm-hmm. from one milk to the other. Some people really feel a lot of bloatiness with more carbs. So like oat milk and cow's milk are probably not the best for them as far as like digestive. Some people really don't like the aftertaste of almond milk, and that is very valid and probably how you feel, Kelly.
For sure. Yeah, I think one other thing with, you know, speaking of carbohydrates, one other thing with a lot of these alternative milks is that not only is there simply the option of the alternative milk itself, but then you have, you know, five variations, right? You have your chocolate and actually I'm really not a big alternative milk person, so I don't know what a lot of the other offerings are, but I know there's flavorings, right? There's different flavors that people enjoy, and that's going to come with a different level of, you know, sweetener. So if you are someone who's working to control blood sugars, maybe you're newly diagnosed with diabetes, or, you know, maybe a family member just got diagnosed and it's something that you're just kind of becoming more aware of and being more conscious of it, then looking at, okay, what type am I actually choosing? You know, especially if I'm drinking a cup at a time, like, does this have a lot of added sugar? Because that could be something to pay attention to, again, just so that you can choose where you want that added sugar in your life, right? If you feel so about the milk, but like you love, I don't know, the pie that your neighbor brings to your Sunday dinners or something like that, then maybe you want to choose to have that sugar at that time because the milk to you is, you know, it's not super compelling, right? So there's different areas to choose, I guess.
For sure. There's vanilla and sweetened and unsweetened and one has whatever. Another aspect I think we haven't really tapped into, and this applies to all the milks we've talked about before, is the fortification for these milks.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we're talking about calcium fortified milks, which a lot of the plant-based milks options are available. Gosh, I'm having a hard time talking about all the milks options. Some of them are fortified with certain things that you might find on the label are slightly different than others. So also, you know, looking at vitamin D fortification, calcium fortification, and whatever else fortification that's important and pertinent to your health. If you are a woman who is of a age bracket where they're past menopause and you're looking for areas to improve your calcium intake, that also is a very valid sort of data point to take into account in picking your milk that you're consuming on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And you can get that info when you're looking at the milk carton, you know, not only the nutrition facts, but also if you look at the ingredient list, mm-hmm. you can see what types of, because almost all of these are fortified to some extent. So you can see, you know, what vitamins and minerals are added. And this is a great place to, because we totally get if this is like, you're like, I don't know what I need, right? I don't know what to pay attention to. That's where working with someone or, you know, joining a group program, whatever it is, talking to your doctor, kind of getting more information about what you as an individual at this stage in your life, like what you should be focusing on, because you don't have to go it alone. Like you don't have to guess. There are plenty of qualified people out there who can help you work through that decision.
Yeah. But as a recap so far, milks that are higher in protein are going to be likely a milk that is cow's milk compared to like the plant-based milks mm-hmm. available.
Or soy, which we didn't touch on as much, but soy milk.
Which, yeah, soy milk. And I think we should touch on that next. But as a recap so far, protein for cow's milk is probably the highest so far. Carbs highest is probably oat milk and then cow's milk the next. Calorie wise, almond milk seems to be the lowest at this point. And final, but you know, not unimportant is, I think the original alternative milk, which is soy milk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like soy milk? Like the taste?
No, not really. Do you?
It's all right. It's all right. I don't hate it. I think if I can say one thing about soy milk, I think it's important to talk about the benefits of soy, particularly in men. I think soy can play a really pretty remarkable role in reducing cholesterol because it sort of binds cholesterol and takes it out of circulation. And one of the things about soy is that structurally, it looks a lot like estrogen. There's a lot of like buzz about mm-hmm. soy milk giving men breast and crazy shit like that. That's ridiculous. It's not real. But one of the things is because the structure is so similar to estrogen actually does that for women. It's sort of like it plays a role in kind of controlling cholesterol levels. And so there is actually a lot of evidence to support that men should increase their level of soy intake mm-hmm. in order to help with that same positive effect of getting some of that cholesterol out. And if you like soy milk or tolerate it, hell, why not?
Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, good option. I feel like soy used to be more popular,
mm-hmm.
but then mm-hmm. all of these other, you know, alternatives came into play and it's less popular. But it's definitely a really good option, higher in protein, much more comparable to cow's milk than a lot of the other ones. And yep. kind of middle of the range, you know, for fat calories, on the lower side for carbohydrates. So definitely a really good option. If it's important to you as an individual to, you know, reduce your intake of animal products, that's a great, you know, good swap because it's not animal-based, it's plant-based. So soy milk is always a good option. And that, again, is pretty readily available still at this point.
Yeah. The last milk I'll just throw out there is because I just, for my kidney people, I gotta give a shout out to my kidney people. They suffer a lot for different options, but rice milk is something that they look for. And one of the things we, maybe you are listening to this, you're like, what are you talking about? But you know, people who have to go through dialysis or are needing to watch out for phosphorus,
mm-hmm.
rice milk is a great option for them. And good thing we have that available because then they don't have to really worry about getting a lot of phosphorus from cow's milk. They can just choose rice milk and still have their favorite cereal with milk without having to worry about that.
Right. Potassium as well. Cow's milk, I don't think we touched on that, but cow's milk's a really good source of potassium. But again, if you are on dialysis or have kidney issues, then that's not something you want to incorporate. You're wanting to lower on that. So many options is the moral of the story, right? Mm-hmm. For so many different people and so many factors. I feel like I'm like my brain is on repeat because I keep saying so many, but it is the case with milks, that there's a lot to choose from and there's no right or wrong answer. It's just kind of an individual choice based on what you have going on and what you prefer.
Yep, that's exactly right. So if we missed a milk kind of option that you have or have thought about or wanted to try, like some of the more obscure ones like pistachio milk or whatnot, we would love to dive into it. Just let us know, and we can do a little shout out to some of the specialty milks out there available. But we wanted to thank you for tuning in to another episode of Dietitians Uncorked. Unfortunately, we didn't have wine, but maybe next time we can share what we're drinking. Yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. We still have our group program, which we mentioned at the beginning of the episode. And if you have any, which we've had a few listener request topics. So if you have one and you want us to do a deep dive, we absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we will see you or listen to you, or you will listen to us. Jesus Christ. In 2 weeks. So we'll see you then.
Thank you. See you guys.
Bye.